hammer time. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
It's game week for Tennessee football, which means, one, our Fridays are going to be packed from start to finish on Sports Talk, and we have completely and continue to enjoy the presence of one VFL Steve Hamer, who has joined us on Fridays since the spring, but he joins us now on this Thursday night. So, at this point in time, it's Hamer time on 99.1 The Sports Animal. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Steve, how are you?
John, I'm doing fantastic. I'm trying to dodge raindrops and dodge COVID at the same time. So, but other than that, I'm doing fantastic.
Well, first, let's gauge your excitement. Granted, we still have to get to Saturday, but considering how long the conversation's been and what it's taken to get Tennessee and the SEC to this point, how jacked are you for SEC football on Saturday?
John, I'm very excited. I'm excited about the prospects of this season. I'm excited about the club that Coach Pruitt has put together. I know these guys have worked exceedingly hard. I'm excited for the opportunity to go play SEC football. I mean, you know, 5-6 months ago, I don't think that you or I, if we're honest with ourselves, thought that this moment was going to come. And, you know, to be 48 hours out, I'm like a kid at Christmas, you know, just ready to wrap that package and get the Vols on the field, ready for a big W this Saturday night.
Hey, Steve, I do want to ask you this. So we heard Jim Chaney, Tennessee offensive coordinator, say that Tennessee's only had 15, quote, functional practices so far. They had a two-week span where there were at least 34 players out every day. How difficult is that to build chemistry and cohesiveness for a football team?
I think, Jimmy, you got to have great leadership at every position. You got to have guys that have knowledge of the game, that are completely bought in, that are completely invested into the program. It's going to be difficult because, you know, how physical are we going to be without, you know, having those type of practices that induce that type of physicality? What's the chemistry going to be like? That's a difficult question, but I know that we've got great leadership on the hill from every unit. We've got guys that are used to going on the road in difficult environments. Whether it's 22,000 or 100,000, these guys are battle-tested. We're going to bring some young guys along, and it's just a matter when the whistle blows, it's just a matter of I want it more than you do. And that's what it's going to come down to. You know, who's going to execute better? But I want it more than you do. So, you know, I think that it's going to play a role, but a minor role at that.
So with the NBA playoffs last night, the Heat get past Boston. They lead 3-1. The hero was Tyler Hero. He ended up with 37 points. He had 17 in the fourth quarter. Steve, is he a better NBA player than you thought he would be?
Absolutely. I go back to last year when Tennessee was able to knock off Kentucky, up at Rupp Arena. And I remember Tyler Hero saying at some point in the game that I'm a bucket. And, you know, we pretty much held him in check. And for him to do what he has done on a consistent level for the Miami Heat, you know, let's face it, Jimmy, he's a go-to player. Last night, they're drawing up plays for him. He's knocking down threes. He's making moves. He's getting to the basket with aggression. I'm very, very surprised that he was able to do what he did against a really good defensive-minded basketball team in Boston. And my Celtics are in trouble, to be quite honest. They're in trouble. That zone that the Heat, they're playing, it's really given the Celtics a lot of problems. And you know, the backs are against the wall tomorrow night, so hopefully they can get a W and extend the series.
One thing that I've been very impressed with is just what the Heat has been able to do in stepping up their game. I mean, they were the number 6 seed coming into this playoffs in the Eastern Conference, and yet they have had the measure of their opponent each step along the way. Boston, I think, is a team that no doubt has the pieces, But what do you think it says about the Heat that you have this cast of players that really doesn't have the great draft capital or things along those lines that that would say, yes, this is a team that when it comes together is going to have a great chance to win the Eastern Conference Championship, but that's the place they're in. What do you think in terms of the sum perhaps being greater than their parts?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. John, I heard this just yesterday that, you know, the Heat can play bad or relatively bad, and they can still pull out an ugly win. When you talk about the Celtics playing someone like the Heat, they've got to play great to get a win. And you know, with the cast of characters that Pat Riley has put together with the Heat, they just got guys that want to go out and play. They don't care, you know, who gets the accolades. They don't care who's scoring. They just got guys that are very skilled at their particular position. You know, Bam Adebayo, I didn't see it coming with Bam. You know, he's going to be a perennial all-star from now on because he knows his role. He rebounds extremely well. He's tough. He's a great defender. And he's starting to handle the ball in the perimeter a little bit more. Then you move out to someone like Jimmy Butler, who has been cast off by many, many different teams. But it seems as though he's found a home with a group of guys that depend on him for his leadership and his toughness. So, you know, with that being said, I didn't see it coming from these guys, but there's something to peaking at just the right time.
Yeah, when you and I also have, I think, a newfound appreciation for Eric Spoelstra just for the job that he's done. You've got Hero, Adebayo, which were drafted in the teens, 13 and 14. Butler was the 30th pick. Then you have Dragic, who was picked 45th, and Robinson, who was undrafted. The Celtics, they have five guys who were top 10, three that were top six, and two that were each the third pick in the draft. I just think that Spoelstra's, he's won me over in terms of his ability to coach as opposed to manage a super team that like he once did.
I think you're exactly right. And then you throw in someone like Jay Crowder, who's got a ton of playoff experience, you know, from playing with the Cavaliers with LeBron James to his other stints with other teams. He's got a multitude of experience and toughness as well. You know, but going back to the Celtics, one thing that really I don't really understand is that when they are facing a 2-3 zone, they look like they have never seen a zone before in their lives. They struggled mightily out of the gates last night. They couldn't knock down a three. And then I think they finally figured out that, hey, you can indeed penetrate a 2-3 zone much as you would if you're facing a man-to-man. And once you penetrate, you're not necessarily getting a shot for yourself, but you're kicking it out to the perimeter to a much wider open teammate who can then knock down the three.
Steve, I want to ask you about the Lakers. They lose to Denver. What stood out to me was that on 40 missed shots, the Lakers got four offensive rebounds, one combined for Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard, and then McGee. And they played 65 minutes. That's unheard of. Obviously, if they do that again, they're not going to beat Denver, right?
No, they're not. And you know, Jimmy, I think they were on cruise control, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have JaVale McGee, who's got a great deal of physicality, Dwight Howard, I mean, he's just a walking muscle, and Anthony Davis, when you play that amount of minutes, 60-plus minutes, and you have four total rebounds between the three of them, that's embarrassing. But I will say this. I think that what you saw last night with the Nuggets, in my opinion, is pyrite. It's fool's gold. Because if you looked closely, the Lakers closed to within three in about a 3 to 4 minute span. So that just tells me when the Lakers are in tuned, when they're playing defense the way that they know how to play defense, when they're scoring, when they're sharing the ball, they can beat anybody, and they make it look easy. So, you know, if I were the Nuggets, I wouldn't fall too much in love with myself as you hear Jamal Murray say something like, hey, we should be up 2-1 in this series. You better be careful about waking up that sleeping giant.
What do you think about Billy Donovan being hired by the Chicago Bulls?
that surprises me, Jimmy. It really does. I think that, don't get me wrong, I think that Billy Donovan is a fantastic coach. Obviously, he did it at a very high level collegiately, and I think that he did a very good job with what he had with the Oklahoma City Thunder in taking the Rockets to Game 7. But I think also
looks like we've had a fly in the ointment. We'll see if we can't reconnect with Steve here for just a second or two. But, Jimmy, I don't think there's any question that we had Barry Trammell, who joined us from the Oklahoman, talk about where Billy Donovan could land, and he thought the Bulls were one of those spots. It's going to be something to watch him handle what is, I think, some good young talent.
What was interesting, the Bulls had started their interview process, and then Donovan became available. And when he became available, they said, let's take a look at this guy.
Yeah.
So I think he's a really good coach. I thought he did a nice job with OKC this past year, given the circumstances that he had. How good of a fit is he at Chicago? I don't know. But Chicago has been a team the last few years. They haven't been very good. I haven't studied their roster, but I'm not sure that they've got a lot of talent either. They're kind of like the Knicks. They kind of flounder around. They think they're getting in some good players, and they don't materialize. So I think he's talking about not wanting to necessarily rebuild with the Thunder. He might be rebuilding with the Bulls.
Yeah, I think they have some nice pieces, as Steve Hamer is back with us. And I think that's one of the things that perhaps makes the job attractive, Steve, is you do have a couple, I think, of good young players that maybe you can bring together and just help lift all boats, so to speak. But it is a challenge, no doubt, to get the Bulls anywhere close to where they were at one point in time in ruling the Central Division.
Yeah, I think so. Billy Donovan may be the right guy for this job. You know, obviously they're going to have a very hot pick for the draft that's upcoming here very, very soon. As you just said, Jimmy, I think that it's going to be a rebuilding effort for Billy Donovan. So, again, he is a steadying factor, though. He's done it at every level, and I think that he can get the out of the Bulls the most that he can possibly get. I don't expect for them to be a playoff team anytime soon because there's just so much competition in the East. So it's going to take a while, but he can be a steadying factor for the Bulls for years to come.
Has Ben Roethlisberger been a steadying factor for your Pittsburgh Steelers?
John, I didn't want to say anything. I know that it's still a sensitive subject given the fact that the Steelers were able to beat the Broncos, albeit the Broncos had a backup quarterback in. But I think Ben played fairly well. Obviously he's still got some arm strength. And they've got some skilled receivers. I think the running game is strong. Defense is strong. So I'm happy with what we got. But I'm also a little concerned about James Conner. You know, can he get through a 16-game season? That's yet to be seen. So Monday night or this upcoming Sunday is going to be a great game for the Steelers as they play the Texans.
Yeah, and what about your Steelers defense is off the charts good. But John McClain was talking with us just yesterday. What about three Watt brothers being on the same field?
Isn't that fantastic? You know, you took a chance on TJ, and then all of a sudden he blossoms into an unbelievable rusher. And now that he's got brothers on the team as well, I'm looking for great things out of the Watt brothers. Couldn't be happier for that particular family.
Want to throw one other thing at you, Steve, and that is there's consideration for the Charleston Classic in which Tennessee's playing to go to Orlando and play in a bubble. Do you think an event like that would work on the college level?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be I think there's going to be a great deal of cost. But when you're talking about just a 2-3-4 game schedule, 2-3-4 game tournament, I think that it's going to be very feasible for them to do that, to get down there, to get in a safe environment, to get some games played, to get under their belt. So I think that's very feasible. I'm saddened that the Maui Classic is now, I guess, going to be played in North Carolina or South Carolina. Is that correct?
Asheville.
Asheville. Yes. There's, you know, there's very little difference between Asheville and Maui, from what I understand. I'm saddened by that, but I think that, you know, if we can get some basketball games played, you know, we got 62 days until it's basketball time in Tennessee, so I'm counting down that as well, and hopefully the Vols will get off to a great start in one of these tournaments.
Hey, Steve, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us and moving the time slot from Friday to Thursday. But enjoy your weekend. Enjoy SEC football. Good luck to your Steelers against the Texans, and we'll catch you next Thursday.
Hey, go Big Orange Saturday night. Let's get a W.
All right. Thank you. That's VFL Steve Hamer joining us for Hamer Time on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.